Shalom, welcome to Wisdom Into Our Ministries. It is a pleasure to have you back. We've been teaching in this whole series of teaching this past few weeks about the spiritual walk in the life of Abraham. And now we're talking about our spiritual walk in the life of Isaac. It's very important to see Messiah in the life of Isaac. And we're focusing on the last program. We were talking about chapter 24. And today we're going to continue the whole pattern. We're going to try to finish chapter 24 today, which is a pretty long one. But we're going to go verse by verse. We're just going to read the story. And we're going to get the Messiah and the essence of what the type and shadows are in the Bible. You know, there are four levels of study in the way the Orthodox study the Bible. And I use those levels of study to get the essence out of the chapters. You have the Parsha, which is literal. You have the remes. You have the drash, which is looking into the text, making connections, studying it out, bringing it out. And then you have the sod level. The sod level is what Paul will say, I show you a mystery. It's a mysterious level. The deep, you got to go into the text, go into some words and get the Hebrew roots and, you know, the root out of the word and make the connections. And we're going to do that today. Right now, we're going to go to chapter 24 on the screen. And we're going to look at verse 15. I'm going to show you the whole prophetic picture over the whole story of Isaac. So if we read in chapter 24, verse 15, says this. Let me go back to what chapter is that right there? 24. Let's go to 15 here real quick. I want to see something that I didn't really mention before. Is the names. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out and was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Now, what we're going to do, when you see women being mentioned in a genealogy, pay attention to it. When you see names of places, pay attention to it. When you see names of people, pay attention to it. So remember that in this story, it lines up with the story of Yeshua we were talking about the last time, when he encountered the Samaritan woman. Now, the place where Eliezer went to get the bride for Abraham, for Isaac, is called Padan Aram. And that's the area that in the modern day maps is found where north of Assyria, where the Kurds live nowadays, in Iraq, that area close to Armenia and Turkey, somewhere around there. So it's somewhere by the Mediterranean, by the Mesopotamia, by the Euphrates, right in that area with modern day Iraq, modern day Syria, modern day Turkey. So a big old area right there. Now, in that area, during the time of the children of Israel, when they were dispersed among the nations, Assyria took the 10 tribes of Israel and sent them into the dispersion. From there, they went all over the world. They went into the west, the east, the north, and the south. But we notice that in the book of Isaiah, it tells us that the children of Israel are asleep. It's like they got deep slumber. And they're going to find the message prophetically of the restoration. The whole story of chapter 24 of Genesis is about the restoration of all the tribes of Israel back through Isaac, who's a type and shadow of the Messiah. The father sending his son to regather the lost sheep of Israel, like Jacob sent Joseph to go give a report about his brothers that were in Shechem, in the area where the Samaritan woman was. I hope this is making sense to you, because we're making a lot of connections prophetically to what you read here on a simple story of a wedding between Isaac and Rebekah is basically letting us know the whole end from the beginning. So let's continue. Now the word, the name Rebekah, which I read you earlier, the word Rebekah in the Strong is a Strong 7259, and it means to fettering or beauty, or, you know, tying up the fetlock, or like, you know, like binding together, okay? We've been grafted in. Now, born to Bethuel. Bethuel means destroyed of God, okay? Not Bethel, but Bethuel, destroyed of God. Now, remember that the 10 tribes were destroyed of God. They were scattered among the nations, okay? And Yahweh is sending Yeshua to bring restoration, to be grafted back in into the tree. Then we continue. Milcah, the son of Milcah. Milcah means queen. Milcah means queen. And Nahor there means snorer. Snorer. Now you're saying, Rico, how in the world do you make that connection? Listen, when you are not obeying the commandment of Yahweh and you are under dispersion, when you snore, you're sleeping, deep sleep. Correct? That's the condition spiritually that was found in the ten tribes of Israel when they're scattered abroad. They were sleeping among the nations. They forgot the queen, that they are the queen of Israel, that they're Israel among the nations. Why? Because they have been destroyed of God. Why? Because when you go to 1 Kings, I'm going to show you right here, in 1 Kings chapter 12. In 1 Kings chapter 12, when Jeroboam went down to the south to Jerusalem after Solomon died, in order to listen to Rehoboam in regards to what to do with the kingdom. Rehoboam listened to his friends and he decided to implement higher taxes than Solomon did. And Solomon put in a lot of higher taxes. Rehoboam didn't listen to the advice of the young people and he decided to do his own will. So therefore the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam went north to the Galilee area, Ephraimites, whatever. And then there, they decided to do a different thing. They built temples. And then what they did, they worshiped the golden calf. And here in 1 Kings chapter 12, you see the whole beginning of this. So verse 19. So Israel have been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam have come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him the king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Even the Levites went up with him. Okay, now watch this. But when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribes of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So now there's going to be a war. Watch what happens. Verse 22. But the word of Yahweh came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the house of the people, saying, thus says Yahweh, you shall not go up to fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. In other words, he allowed Israel to go amongst the nations. Why? Therefore, they obeyed the voice of Yahweh and turned back according to the word of the Lord. See, Jeroboam built Shechem. Notice? He says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelled there. Interesting. The children of Israel had to go to Shechem, just like Abraham, like Isaac, and like Jacob, and like the children of Israel, like Yeshua. And he made the wrong decision. Abraham made a decision for life. He made a decision for death because he built altars to the golden calf. You see the patterns? They are all here. So now what we have is a prophetic picture of, in the story of Genesis, in the story of a bride for Isaac, the father's, the mother's name, everything that's there. Let me read the verse again. Let me read it up on the screen, please. It says, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, okay, who was born to Bethuel, destroyed of God, son of Milcah, the queen, the wife of Nahor, and the snorer, Abraham, father of nations. So the 10 tribes of Israel are dispersed among the nations. Now this is where the prophetic picture began. How the queen, Israel, is destroyed of God for worshiping different gods. And they are sleeping among the nations and they're not spiritually awakening yet. Did you get what I'm saying? Isn't that interesting? All in one verse in Bereshit, in Genesis, in the story of Rebekah and Isaac. Tell me the gospel is not in the Torah. Anybody who says that the Torah is not for us anymore is not reading scripture. And I think we should reevaluate, you know, the way we study scripture so we learn, so we know what's going to happen at the end, because it's been declared from the beginning. So I submit to you to come back to the beginning. Come back to the Torah. Okay? Let's continue in verse 16. Verse 16 says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. I think I already read this stuff, right? I think I already read it. So let me move on to verse 22 where I was. In verse 22, it came to pass, as the camels have done drinking, the golden shekels weight, 2 bracelets of two of her hand, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, and there room in thy house for us to lodge in. And it says, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was bare to Nahor. You see? I am Rebekah, right? the daughter of Bethuel, the strait of God, the son of the queen, and the, who bare unto the snore, the sleeper. Interesting. Okay? And she said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the men bowed down his head and worshiped Adonai. And he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham. Have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And I being in the way, and Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brethren. And it says, and the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house. Now, wait a minute. She ran to tell them about the house. Let's go back to John again. Let's go back to John chapter 4. After Yeshua has the encounter with the Samaritan woman, after he talks to her, what does she do? It says, chapter 5. And then it says, call your husbands, and verse 16, call your husbands and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said, you have said, well, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is now your husband, and that's how you have spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and the Jews, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Yeshua said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what do you not know? We know that we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But in the ninth, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is and when he comes, he will tell us all these things. Then Yeshua said to her, I who speak to you, I am he. He is the only one, she is the only one that he revealed himself as being the Messiah. Nobody else but her. Why is that? Why is that? This is very significant. Then at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked to the woman, and no one said, what do you seek? And why are you talking to her? The woman then, watch this, the woman then left her water pots. Rebecca had water pots, and says, went her way into the city and said, come see a man who told me all these things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So now she goes running to the city, just like Rebecca went running to her house to bring the restoration. Rebecca, remember, is a type and shadow of the bride, and the Samaritan woman is a type and shadow of Israel, who has been destroyed of God for her adultery, who has been sleeping among the nations because of her spiritual decline, who has been the queen who has been destituted. But Rebecca, binding, putting together, is going to tie in together into the fold, have been regrafted in into the tree. Isn't that amazing? The wonderful works of Messiah. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis and continue reading. Okay, so now, what verse? There you go. Verse 28, the damsel ran, just like the Samaritan woman, and told them of her mother's house of these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, which is righteous, white. Interesting. Now she goes and counsels Laban. And Laban means white. Isn't it interesting that when we come to Messiah, we're made white? And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when she saw the earrings, when he saw the earrings and bracelet upon his hand, upon his sister's hands, and when he had heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus speak the man unto me. And he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camel's well. Now the whole story is being revealed here again, okay? So I'm going to move on a little bit. Let me go all the way to verse 50. Let me go to verse 50 so we can continue, okay? So if you give me the screen so I can find it there, because I don't have it in mind. So let's go to verse 50 so we continue the story. They're repeating the whole story again, how the encounter happened. So when you get to verse 50, you go and it says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. And it says, behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her by the master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. Now watch this. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshiped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. So she's coming back. Okay? But watch. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver. Now, silver is redemption. Redemption. Gold is divinity. See, the jewels of silver, she's being redeemed. And the jewels of gold, remnant, gave to them, to Rebekah. So he gave also her brother and to her mother's precious things. Now, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarry all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away, and my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, and at least 10, see, completion. After that she will go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord has prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. Just like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel did in Egypt, when Egypt, the Ruach, the father, sent Joseph ahead to prepare the way. Egypt is in the, Israel is in the dispersion. There she is brought out with great jewelry, with great wealth, with great stuff, right? And when she said in the mountain, anything that the father will say, we will obey and do, she says, I will go. To a land that she did not know. Remember that the children of Israel were living in Egypt. They were slaves. They'd never been to the land of promise. Rebecca has never been in the land of promise. You and I have never been in the land of promise. We believe by faith. Now, Romans chapter 10 come into play. In Romans chapter 10, Rav Shaul is telling us about Israel. And he says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they may be saved, right? And then he goes all the way down to verse 9. He says, that if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Adon and believe in your heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, so we accepted that calling without ever meeting the Messiah, without even knowing his real name, because they told you his name was Jesus, but his real name is Yeshua. Without knowing what the promised land is, because they tell you that we're going to go to heaven, when in fact the Bible says we're going to be on earth, reigning with him for 1,000 years. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Let's go there. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10 tells us specifically, it says, verse 9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood, out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. And it says, and have made us kings and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign on the earth. The Bible specifically tells us we're going to be reigning with them forever on the earth. But no, the system of religion tells you, no, we're going to be in heaven. We're never going to go to the land of Israel. When Ezekiel 37 tells you specifically, we're going to be in the land of Israel because it's the dowry of the bride. By the way, if Messiah didn't take us to the land of Israel, he cannot be the Messiah, because Abraham was taken to the land of Israel. Jacob was taken to the land of Israel. Isaac was taken to the land of Israel. Israel was taken back to the land of Israel in the wilderness. It's just obvious that we're going to go back to the land of Israel. So here we see a pattern. We see everything that is happening. So you and I accepted the Messiah without ever knowing him, without knowing his real name, without seeing his face. That's exactly what is happening here. Let's go back, and we only have a few minutes, and I want to make sure I cover this. So when we go back to the story of Rebekah, we notice that she says, I will go, just like you and I said we will go. And now this is a beautiful thing. And they sent away Rebekah and their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, thou art our sister, for thou art the mother of thousands of millions. Thousands of millions, Rebekah. You see what I mean? There's only 15 million Jews. You can count Jews from the tribe of Judah and Levi and Benjamin together, but you can't count the sons of the children of Israel. There are too many to count. And Rebekah rose and her damsel, and they rode upon a camel, the camel, and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah to and went his way. Now the servant here is the type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. And Isaac came forth the way of the well of Lahairoi, and he dwelt there in the south. Let me find out what that means. I'm sorry, that's verse 62. I'm going to tell you exactly what it means here from the Hebrew. I have another program here that I'm using. Okay. That means Well of a living one, my seer. So that right there means the well of the living one, my seer. Interesting. So in the future, you're going to see Messiah meeting the Samaritan woman at a well. And she finally saw who the true groom was. Because she understood who he was. He was the Messiah. See how the story completely is fulfilled in the story of the Samaritan woman? That's why we need to connect the Torah with the Brit Chadashah. It's not like we have to say, no. You see, somebody says that the Old Testament is concealed and the New Testament is revealed. I don't think so. No, I believe that the Tanakh is being revealed and concealed, and that the Brit Chadashah, the first century writings, is a witness to what has already been revealed and concealed back here. It's completely different. See, people go from right to left to understand the Bible, which we do in Hebrew, read from right to left. But you see, they're trying to understand the Bible backwards, from the end of the book to the beginning, when Isaiah tells us that he has revealed the end from the beginning. So let's continue with this, and we're going to talk about now what's going to happen to us. Isaac came on, by the way, by the well, right? There's the living and the seer. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camel was coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted of the camel. And she has said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant has said, it is my master. Therefore she took veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things I have done. And Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, what does that mean? What does this mean? How will you tie this with us? Let me go to Zechariah 14. In Zechariah 14, we know that Messiah will come in the Mount of Olives. He will put his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's what the scripture says. It says Yahweh put his feet on the Mount of Olives. So, and after that, we're going to celebrate Sukkot with him. Sukkot means tents. So here we see Isaac never meeting his bride. And in the Bible, this is why in scripture he says, do not commit fornication. Do not sleep with somebody before you come into covenant. Because in scripture, as soon as you have sexual relationship, it's as if you're married. And this is why you're not supposed to sleep around. Why? Because if I sleep with this person here, and biblically, it's as if I married her. And then if I sleep with somebody else, I just divorced this one and I committed adultery with this one. And if I marry somebody else, so basically I'm married, divorce. Okay? So here we see an example of a biblical marriage. Okay, the biblical marriage basically tells us that when Isaac took Rebekah and took her in the tent, what happened there was that they became married. He knew her. So it tells you the verse, what you just read there. If you go back to the screen, we can see it again. It says, and Isaac brought her into the tent and took her, and he became his wife. What does that mean? They had sexual relations and loved her. Notice that out of all the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, only Isaac only had one wife. Jacob had four wives. He only wanted Rachel, only wanted one. But he was deceived and he ended up with the handmaids and the other one. Abraham only wanted one wife, Sarah. But his wife said, you can have my maidservant. Here you see that Isaac, who is the type and shadow of the Messiah, only had one wife, Rebekah, who is this precious and beloved one. So here we see that Rebekah is just a type and shadow of the congregation, in which we've never seen our Messiah. We've never spoken to him directly. We don't even know the sound of his voice or what he looks like. But yet, we have accepted a covenant, and he's given us gift, and we come into a marriage covenant. When she says, I will go, she came into the betrothal period, the early betrothal period, which is found in the Bible. Now, what happens is there's two levels of betrothal in the Bible. One is called the Anuzim betrothal, okay? Nesuim, physically dwell with. There's two levels. Betrothal, legally married but not physically dwell with. That's when she says, I will go. And the other one is Nesuim, which is basically physically dwell with. So in the story of Isaac, we saw the two types of betrothal and the fulfillment of the marriage. When Yeshua came and died and resurrected, and we accepted him as our Savior, we enter into the betrothal period. When he comes in the clouds, He's going to take us to Sukkot in Zechariah chapter 14. It says that it shall come to pass that everyone who is left, all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh Sabaoth, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the keep of Sukkot, Sukkot means tents. So you see the top and shadow of the life of Isaac. Also in what Messiah is going to do in our spiritual walk. My Lord, I hope you're enjoying yourself, because we're covering a lot of ground here in the spiritual walk in the life of Isaac. Just like we learn a lot in the spiritual walk in the life of Abraham. I'll tell you one thing. You know, this is one of the things that really get me excited about Scripture. When we understand Scripture from a different level, from a deeper level. I have been teaching you the gospel from the Torah. If you have a pastor, if you have somebody who cannot teach you the gospel from the Torah, please reevaluate who's teaching you. Because they have to teach you Torah. That's what the Bible says. Because that is our instruction. That is our wisdom. That is our understanding. It was good enough for David. It was good enough for Moses. It was good enough for the forefathers. It should be good enough for us. And Yeshua told us, I did not come to do away or destroy the Torah of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but I came to fulfill, to make it full of meaning. So I submit to you to take a journey back to the beginning and continue to worship the Creator, Yahweh the Father, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, who has given us freedom for the day in which we will encounter our Messiah and we will go into tents and be intimate in the weddings of the Lamb. Yahweh bless you and keep you. We'll see you next time.